Evening.
Evening.
You're the first. Should we just go forward?
If you want to, I guess so. Usually somebody comes on. Was that somebody?
No.
Okay.
All of a sudden, it's going to take me a couple minutes to open up because for some reason the page closed.
Okay, I'm looking for my hello notepad.
We're on section 4.
Okay.
Good evening. We're about to start with section 4. And we'll start with the Shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kutsha Brichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urkimu Uthilu Uthilu
Urkimu. Miriam.
Le'ak.
Sorry.
L'shem Yehud B'vavhe. B'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La'asok Torah Mitzvah. V'ayhino am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kononei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kononeihu. So we're in Parashat Va'era. Pasuk 32 in section 4. Tare kushahala Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol Ahu Yama Ayan Shin Hawa Yoti Vlimineya Or Kenus Bereya Wahawa Begale Leya Amikta umastarta wehulahawa mekabel dedateya milayayo dechashirchim torach bedateya hawakewan chama dedata deavo mit yashva Alo kabel mineya mea utmanin tisha razin ilain. The translation. The sages discussed the time when the great Rabbi Eliezer became ill and was about to die. The day was Shabbat Eve. And Rabbi Eliezer made his son, Orkanos, sit to his right. He then revealed great and deep secrets to him. But Orkanos' mind was not ready to hear him at first, because he thought that his father's mind was not sufficiently clear. Only after he saw that his father's mind was completely clear did he receive 189 sublime secrets from him. My commentary. The number 189, Kuf Pei Tet, when permutated, has a meaning associated with two of the permutations. One means balsam, and the one means a package. Rabbi Akiva should have been at the dying bed of his teacher, who was Rabbi Eliezer. A tzaddik reveals all of the light that he has the potential to reveal on the last day of his or her life. If Rabbi Akiva had been present at this deathbed, that potential would have been revealed to Rabbi Akiva, who was capable of understanding these Torah secrets. Since he was not there, the next best student, his own son, was there and received only part of the total potential light. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I think balsam is the incense ingredient at Keter level, which I can understand because he was, you know, telling my secrets. I'm not sure I understand a package to the meaning.
Well, what the package is saying, he received 189 secrets, but that they were all interconnected. They were all explaining whatever they were explaining, a process or the different level of the sefirot or a specific sefirah, whatever they were explaining. So the word package is just unifying all of them.
Okay. Could he have been explaining?
And the idea of balsam is part of, as you said, is part of the korbanot. So it's dealing with getting closer. Should I go on, or do you want to?
I think so. Unless you have something else, it seems, I mean, it's telling a story, I guess, what it seems like.
Well, this is a very powerful section, as you'll find out.
Now, the idea that
I'm sorry?
You kind of broke up.
I just said that it's a very powerful section.
Okay.
So let's go on to Pasuk
33.
Okay. The amar lo abba la ma amar le ya chazena yochet chala min alma amar lo zil ve'ema le'imach tefi istalak tefi ila ve'atar ila Uvatar behestale min alma viate akale mefeme lehon la tivke dehinun terivin ilain ila tatain vedata devar nash la yagaba hold. The translation, when he reached the secret of the marble stones that are mixed with the supernal waters, Rabbi Eliezer wept and stopped talking. He said, "Get up and go over there, my son." He asks him why. He replies, "I see that I am soon to pass from the world. Go along and tell your mother that my tefillin shall disappear and reach a higher place." In other words, he gave her a hint about his approaching death. After I have departed from this world, I shall come to see them, the members of the family. But they should not cry, because those above are near, not those below, though the human mind cannot grasp this. My commentary. The whole section gives hints about the verses in Ezekiel about the ascent to the chariot, which is a meditation. There are other hints as well about how to know if you're close to heaven or otherwise. A study of his life will give you hints as to the rules that allow a soul to visit their families as well. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Thoughts of the marble stones. I'm not
sorry. We're all breaking up, I
think.
Do
you remember? Well, no, I heard your question. You're asking, well, what are the marble stones? You're asking about that.
Yeah, the secret of the marble stones.
The marble stones are described in the prophecies of Ezekiel. And also in the Talmud, in the section of Haggigah, you have the story of the four who entered the Pardes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That story, it's Rabbi Akiva is saying that when you get to the place where it looks like water, don't call it water because it's a lie.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All of it. So basically, Ezekiel is teaching how to ascend through to the highest heavens, how to connect to the highest levels, and what is the meditation to do that, and how to approach that. And he received that information from Rabbi Eliezer, who was his teacher. Rabbi Eliezer received it from Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Akiva was a student of Rabbi Eliezer, but they were both students of Rabbi Shimon. And so that's the idea of what this section is talking about, is the prophecies of Ezekiel that have been studied by the Kabbalists throughout the millennia, of how to ascend, what the meditations are. And one of those meditations, you reach a level which is called the marble steps. And what that looks like, what it represents, in the book of Mishpatim, in the Sefer, I'm not sure, this may be in Yitro rather than Mishpatim, but there's a section at the end of this parasha that explains that there's six steps leading up to the altar in the temple. And those steps they can't be metal. And so that's what it's talking about, is how do you approach the altar in heaven? That's not something I heard from a teacher. It's something that intuitively makes sense to me, and I know it's right, but it may not be. It's just, you always have to be careful with that. Any other questions?
Is he saying that he's going to reveal himself like in a dream or something with his family? Are the family able to reach him through meditation?
No, he's saying that he is going to initiate a visit from his soul to his family after he dies. he's going to initiate the visit to say goodbye because he's studying and he's teaching his students and he's not available to his wife. He's not available to the other members of his family. And he feels that's an obligation, and so he will complete that after he dies. And they shouldn't be concerned. There's another story of in the Talmud of a personage called the Rav, who would come every Friday night for years after he died. He would come every Friday night and he would sit and he would be like a physical person having the Kiddush on Friday night of Shabbat and visiting with the family and celebrating the Shabbat. And he did so with his family until one Shabbat, one of the other human beings saw him, and he didn't have permission to see him, and so they didn't have the permission to describe that and to tell people about it, and so he was never allowed to come back again. So I know many people have seen visions of their loved ones after they've died, sometimes during the Shiva week, sometimes during the first year. But these visions are exactly what they are. The soul is there. Sometimes you can call them, and sometimes they will come to initiate the visit to bring you a message. Here he was announcing before he died that he would be allowed to come after he died.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was making a promise that had to be, Sadikim do not tell lies. So for him to make a promise like that, it had to have come true after he died. The question is whether you can accept the reality that that's possible when not everybody does it and people don't think it can happen. And when you have that consciousness, it blocks it from happening.
Well, when someone dies that, they have a dream about their loved one that died. I hear that often.
Yes, and in our generation, that's probably one of the highest levels that that can happen. But this story is hinting at to us and being more exact, saying that it can happen to that the soul can literally manifest again in a physical body, in the illusion of a physical body, but still a physical body that can lift a cup of wine.
Mm-hmm.
The potential is there. Whether people will accept that as truth, that's up to them. And what if they can't, it will block the manifestation. I was about to say, early in my teaching of Kabbalah, I had some students. This was in Los Angeles. And the only reason this student came was she went through all of the 15, 16, 17 basic classes. But when we got to this point of talking about reincarnation and what, and the process of Shiva, this woman told a story that she had never told anyone because she didn't believe it herself. But her son was in Texas when he died. She was in Los Angeles. And she was sitting in her home. And she saw her son walk through her kitchen. like he always used to do when he was a teenager. And she didn't know what to make of it. She didn't speak to him. She didn't know, she didn't even think she saw it. But she told the story into the class, and she wanted to know if it was real. And I said, yes, it was definitely real. It was in the week of Shiva, and the soul moves between the place that he is loved, usually the home where he lived, and the grave. And it, the soul is confused about what's happening to it, which is why we have the custom of putting drapes or covering over mirrors, so that the soul doesn't get the shock of looking in a mirror and not being able to see itself.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only reason she came to my class was to be told that what her son had spoken to her in that image that she has was accurate and important for her to realize was true. So she needed that confirmation from someone that, for whatever reason. There are lots of blockages that we put up because we're not willing to give up the cultural teachings. And it's a cultural teaching that people die. It's a cultural teaching that people cannot come back. It's a cultural teaching. And we have to recognize, as long as we accept those cultural teachings, we are creating the blockage to our visitations from our soul, from our loved ones who have passed. Should I read verse 34 or let it go? We're almost out of time, so I'm not sure we won't have time to finish it.
Okay, well, let's stop.
Any other questions?
Not right now.
Malka, do you have any questions?
I'll absorb.
All right. There's questions and answers tonight at 7 p.m. in the later class. So hopefully you'll have some questions then. Thank you all. Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful evening.
Okay, thank you.
Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.
Oh.